Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial, December 1st, Wednesday. It's a big day for some of us. It's a big day for everybody. I want to say one thing. Big Al is turning 78 today. Isn't that interesting? Never thought I'd see 78. I'll bet you most of you guys out there and gals never thought that you would see 78 either. It's just not a reality when you're younger. But the fact of the matter is, I'm here to tell you that it's a reality. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on at CNN right now. CNN is very close, in my opinion, to losing almost any credibility that it has. I personally think that if they don't terminate the contract of Chris Cuomo, they will have no credibility left whatsoever. Mr. McKinney, what do you think, sir?
Well, I don't think they have any credibility at all, and I'm really surprised.
We both know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, and happy birthday, Al. It's 78. Jimmy. That's a great milestone.
And so, 78 big ones, yeah. But let's not talk about me and my birthday. Let's talk about what's going on with CNN. Let's talk about Chris Cuomo, and let's talk about where we think that's going to end up. Where do you think it's going to end up, Jim?
Well, I think there's a lot of pressure to fire Chris Cuomo now, but it's really funny. It's self-inflicted. You know, CNN has allowed some incredible failings in their lead reporters. You know, they push the narrative over and over and over again. And it turns out most of that reporting, all of it, was wrong and inaccurate. And much of it was actually politically motivated and a lie. So that's a starting point, which, you know, of course, continued on with Stormy Daniels and Michael Avenatti with the Covington kids. Their reporting has proven over and over again, right up to this last few weeks with the Rittenhouse, you know, some of the things that they said and some of their pundits have said is wrong. And then they get something that happens like Jeffrey Toobin. Jeffrey Toobin is their legal analyst. Jeffrey Toobin on camera with the New Yorker staff. He'd been employed there for, I believe, over like 28 years or something like that.
Right.
You know, pleasuring himself. And CNN didn't fire him. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. How is that justified that you could attack people for numerous, you know, people like Trump or anybody on the right for numerous failings. And actually some of the people on the left, they've attacked for, you know, sexual misconduct. And they allow him to stay on. So Chris Cuomo is defending his brother, Andrew, the governor, and is negotiating former governor, yeah, who was the governor at the time. And he's trying to help him out. He's trying to use his platform, very powerful media platform, in order to protect him. That's, in my view, inexcusable. Defending his brother is not a bad thing, but at the same time, the whole issue is they're fighting over whether or not Andrew Cuomo's sexual misconduct allegations are a bad thing. And they don't mention the fact that about 15,000 elderly people died being forced back into retirement homes and elderly care facilities because of Andrew Cuomo's mandates to move them back in under the COVID crisis, which killed 15,000 people, maybe 6,000 to 8,000 directly to his because of his mandates. So what the heck is going on when they can't even look at the real facts? And then, of course, you get this cycle of you know, attacking people for, you know, sexual allegations and then defending. And it's just the cycle is so messed up. It's at most actually corporate media. And this is just one example. And, you know, your initial question, what's going to happen in the long term? I think they're going to be forced under pressure from the left to get Chris Cuomo out. I think it's going to cost them dearly. I think most of their positions right now are becoming very untenable. And they're going to have to change. CNN's going to have to massively change their format and the way they work if they want to be viable. But here's the problem. I don't believe that the corporate entities that control CNN, Jeff Zucker makes the decisions. I don't think that the people that control CNN at the larger level care whether or not CNN makes money. I think they are a propaganda outlet, a very powerful propaganda outlet for major globalist corporate entities. And the same thing with Washington Post and most of our mainstream media outlets. So they're willing to have a loss leader. If they can use them to protect their larger interests, then they're going to keep them on and they'll go ahead and lose money off of it.
In my opinion. Well, it's amazing to me that the progressives – now, number one, will you accept the fact as a fact that there is a small group of people, maybe three or four people, who are really telling the progressives, giving them their marching orders? Would you accept that?
I don't think it's three or four. I think it's a much larger group. And I don't think it's necessarily progressives that are doing it. I think they're very influential progressives that are being manipulated by even a more powerful and influential cabal, if you will, of powerful industrial corporate tech leaders and masters and people that want global control. And I think that they are kowtowing to a Chinese authoritarian regime. So I look at it as not just three or four progressives. I think progressives are just useful idiots for big corporate entities that want financial and political power unchecked. And I think that group includes a lot of political leaders. It includes a lot of ideologues. And unfortunately, a lot of the media and tech companies that really could care less about individual rights or human rights or the U.S. Constitution or America.
Jim, one correction. We stated earlier that we didn't believe that Cuomo had been fired yet, but it just came over the wires, at least into my computer. CNN has suspended Chris Cuomo indefinitely.
Yeah, I've heard that. So Toobin was suspended indefinitely too. So we'll see what happens over time. My guess is he's done. I'm done because he doesn't – look, he was defending Andrew Cuomo, who the left attacked. The left attacked Andrew Cuomo, not because of the COVID failures, but because of the wokeness and his sexual misconduct accusations. So I'm just killing people.
Well, they went into his private texts. They went into Chris's private texts, and they found out that he had been digging up details using his sources to dig up information on his brother's accusers. That's going to do it right there. That's a lead article, Jim. And I find absolutely that it would be impossible for CNN to keep him on staff. Totally impossible. So let's just go under the assumption right now that actually Anderson Cooper is going to be filling you for Cuomo tonight or last night, Tuesday night. So that's really kind of interesting. I don't listen to CNN at all, so I have to say that's pretty much where I'm coming from right now. What else would you say is really important to talk about right now? I would say let's talk about the similarity between the COVID-19 and the prior pandemic that occurred. Let's talk in terms of the mandates. It looks like those mandates are probably going to stick for a while. Your comment on that?
Okay, so there is a very informative article, and I sent it to you. Hope maybe you can post it, just link to it so that the readers can and the listeners can look at it. It's basically COVID-19 vaccine mandates fail the Jacobson test. Okay. It's by a Dr. Harvey Risch and a lawyer, Gerard Bradley. It's in basedunderground.com, basedunderground.com. And basically, it does the legal discussion of the mandates, and it identifies the four criteria that the Supreme Court used, that Justice John Marshall Harlan used to force smallpox vaccines in 1902 to the 1904 breakout outbreak. And The four categories were that individual liberty does not allow people to act regardless of harm to be caused to others. So, you know, you can't take your own advantage to hurt other people. The vaccine mandate was not shown to be arbitrary or oppressive. That's number two. That the vaccination was reasonably required for public safety. Number three. And that the defendant's view that smallpox vaccine was not safe or effective constituted a tiny minority medical opinion. Those were the four categories that they made that judgment in 1902. So here's putting the COVID and the mandates with these requirements based on what many courts have allowed the government to continue forced vaccinations in the United States recently based on this Jacobson decision. If you question each one of these four categories and you make an argument that does not stand up, and these guys put a very good case together that there it does not compare at all, because there is it starts off with the vaccines can still get it and still pass it if you get the vaccines. You can still get COVID and pass it if you get the vaccines. So you're not avoiding harming others by taking it. It's not arbitrary oppressive, but in fact, you're losing jobs, you're forcing people out. And so it is oppressive if you don't take the vaccine. That's number two. Number three was reasonably required for public safety. We know from our discussions yesterday that the actual death toll after vaccines this year has been larger than when we didn't have vaccines. And there are reasons that it spread, you know, whatever, that made it the numbers not exactly the same. But obviously it's not helping. So it's not helping public safety. And in fact, what is the most interesting part of that is when you look at the VIRS reporting, the national database for people that are responding badly to the vaccinations, it is now close to 20,000 deaths. Half of which have been within 3 days. 50% have been within 3 days of taking the vaccines, and nearly a million, over 900,000 adverse reactions. So that is not supportive of public safety, and you have to question that. And then the last is that, you know, the individual view that the smallpox vaccine was not safe or effective constituted a tiny minority medical opinion. Well, that's not true. We have a tremendous number of people that are saying that the vaccine is not safe, and we have a lot of facts that prove it.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, so in this argument, this lawyer and epidemiologist, and one is a lawyer, I believe, at the an Ivy League. I can pull it up real quick. He's a Ivy League a law professor, and the other one is from an Ivy League, a very influential epidemiologist. Let me get the specifics on these guys. So Dr. Reich, he's a professor of epidemiology and public health at Yale School of Public Health, and he has an MD from University of California and a PhD from University of Chicago.
Right.
And then, of course, Dr. Reich is a faculty member in epidemiology and biostatistics at the University of Toronto before coming to Yale. Gerald Bradley is the professor of law at Notre Dame. He teaches legal ethics and constitutional law. So these are not just random people. They are very intellectually and, you know, well-respected professionals in their fields of epidemiology and law, and they are questioning and giving a very strong argument. I would recommend everybody take a look at that and be able to stand firm on the position and the differences between how it's being justified legally now and how it wasn't then. And then there's some other issues out there that I think are really important to talk about. I know we're spending a lot of time here, but
we got time. I mean, let me just say one thing that I think is kind of interesting, because it just came out a couple hours ago. Actually, it was actually just exactly almost a couple hours it came out on the wires, and that's that LeBron James is now going to be out indefinitely of the NBA, only because his, under their safety protocols, he was vaccinated, but he either registered positive or inconclusive in testing for COVID-19. So he's out, and it's hard to say how long he's going to stay out. I didn't realize that a person could have an inconclusive result as a result of a COVID test. I know my daughter is going through that right now, and I don't know, maybe she registered inconclusive. It's hard to say. Jimmy, enough about that. What else did you want to talk about, bud?
Well, the other piece that I wanted to talk about is the vaccination, the emergency youth authorization versus the FDA-approved Pfizer BioNTech vaccination. So really they're not producing and they're not – or they haven't produced. They're not using actual FDA-approved what they – commodity, I can't even remember what it's called, but basically the FDA-approved – vaccination is that not even available out there for the most part. They're still using emergency use authorities. And there's some interesting questions when you look at the documentation on the approval for the FDA approved version, what they're not using. And it really comes down to this. I'm just going to simplify. Pfizer BioNTech is dragging out having their FDA approved version on the market because there's a possibility that they may face liability for the failures and the problems with the vaccine if they get out of emergency youth authorization. The versions that are being used right now are the emergency use authorization versions, and they are exempt. They're actually protected, indemnified from the federal government. So there's a question of whether or not they would actually face liability once they get putting out the actual FDA-approved version. They say it's the same, but then in fact it says legally distinct in the same description with the FDA. So what that means to me is they're trying to cover their behinds to keep from the liability from all the problems they're having with this and dragging it out as long as possible. And the sad thing is the FDA, the CDC, and the Biden regime is supporting that.
Boy, I got to tell you, if you don't mind, I'd like to just get away a little bit from the COVID situation right now. You know, when you talk about, you and I are pretty ensconced in the idea that our society is really heading downhill. Let's get your comments on what's going on at this Ghislaine Maxwell's trial. We're finding out that the most prominent people in the world had relationships with Epstein right now.
Well, Epstein's
just more about how dirty our society really is under the surface.
Actually, it's not all our society. It's these elite, powerful people that think that they can do anything because they have money and power.
Right, right.
That's what Epstein did. He connected all these people up, and then he actually got them into very difficult situations and used his influence and their weaknesses, because we're all human beings, to manipulate, but then maybe who knows where he got all his money. It's very questionable if it was done through blackmail, if it was done through good investments or just relationships. But he used that very effectively. Yeah. And he made friends with all these incredibly powerful people, some of which are, you know, inadvertently just involved because he was everywhere. He was all over. But what it shows you is this very small segment of our society at the top that are corrupted, as all human beings become in bad circumstances or if they allow themselves to be without moral high ground, without moral standards. And it's pretty disgusting. And what it's showing is there's a lot of people that buy into that at the highest level. And a lot of people strive for being in that level where they can do what they want. They can treat others as they wish and treat young women as slaves or, you know, do rap music that talks about shooting cops. You know, I mean, this is terrible that we allow it and society allows it, but that just shows how weak and, you know, greedy individuals can be without structure, without faith, without some sort of higher sense of responsibility to each other.
You know, it's amazing how far the pendulum has swung in the wrong direction towards society in the United States right now. Jimmy, we have been going for a while. Anything else you want to bring up, please do so.
Yeah, no, I just think Jim Cramer of CNBC, I think he's actually gone off the reservation, wanting mandatory vaccination for every citizen forced by the U.S. military. Unbelievable. We can't go there.
No, absolutely not. Okay, you guys, Let's get some comments. This is what it's all about. I'm trying to address as many as I can, but let me tell you, when you don't have a staff, and neither Jim nor I have a staff to help us, it becomes pretty difficult to do some of this. Jimmy, thank you so much, sir.
Always a pleasure.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.